So we've got Pentecost coming up, and I wanted to talk about something that was relevant. This year I should have more of an opportunity to see the physical analogy of the first fruits take place in action. After 2 years of making a mess in my backyard and grading, and I finally have enough space to put in a garden. My wife wanted a garden, so she asked for at least one bed, and I gave her six beds. So we should have a crop here in about 50 days, hopefully. So, you know, we live in a society where there's an increasing value for anything physical that is considered pure. Pure gold, pure silver, pure fabric, be it wool or linen, pure organic heirloom vegetables, tomatoes specifically. I even have an app on my phone, my cell phone, for pure gas. Pure gas, you know, like real gasoline. The stuff that we put in our cars before the government mandated we use corn whiskey. I mean ethanol. So I still buy pure gas. But there's a lot of time and money put into purifying the physical. But what does society in general say about spiritual purity? A person with a pure heart. The idea of purity is ridiculed in today's media, pop culture, high school, universities. They label the pure-hearted sometimes as self-righteous or old-fashioned, repressed, ignorant, or naive. The idea of purity in action and spirit is not valued by the masses. The general media and society says, look up to those of the world, those that are worldly, or those that have been around, or maybe streetwise. Pursuing vain pleasure and convenience is lauded. Filth is in, it sells like hotcakes. I mean, music videos, books, videos, filth sells. But I would look to say, what did Jesus have to say about it? He said, if you'll turn to Matthew 5, verse 8. He was near the Sea of Galilee after he had healed a great multitude. He gave the beatitudes. Blessed are the poor in spirit. This is Matthew 5:3. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. And the verse that I'm going to focus on today is verse 8. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. So then, I have to ask myself, do I have a pure heart? What makes a heart pure? After all, how can I have a pure heart when Jeremiah 17:9 clearly tells me the heart is deceitfully wicked above all things? Who can know it? So let's take a moment to look at the meaning of the word, the pure. The Greek word for pure is katharos. It's used 27 times in the New Testament. Fundamentally, it signifies that which is clean or free from contaminating substance. The term is used literally, for instance, of the clean cloth in which Jesus' body was wrapped after his death in Matthew 27:59. In the gospel accounts of Matthew, Mark, and Luke, the word is employed in a ceremonial sense of the purification from leprosy. It also can apply to the release of certain unfortunate individuals, unclean spirits, demons, the persons, then by implication become clean. Now, in the Old Testament, there's a whole study you can do on purification, but we're not going to focus on that today. So what role do we play? What is our responsibility in striving for and maintaining a pure heart? How can we be involved? So first, I would reference Proverbs 4:23, you all know the scripture, reads, guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. What it's saying is, guard your heart from, not just from evil, but from negativity, because your heart is where your motivation lies, your energy, your positive feelings. It's basically like a long list of don'ts. It's defense. You know, basketball is won through offense and defense, and Christianity is as well. Secondly, I would reference James 4:8, if you want to write down James 4:8. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. So purity of heart is a work in progress in which both God and man share responsibility. It's a team effort. Many scriptures show that God will cleanse by pardoning sin. But our responsibility in cleansing is very important and frequently mentioned along with what we must do to be cleansed. Notice how clearly James shows purifying is our responsibility. So the only way we can be truly pure in heart is to give our lives to God and ask him to do the cleansing work. Psalm 51:10 reads, "Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me." So we know that it is also God, he's the one who makes our hearts pure by the sacrifice of his Son and through the sanctifying work in our lives. The third point I'd like to bring up is 1 Peter 1:22. If you'll turn to 1 Peter 1:22. I think this one is very important. With Passover, we've just kind of went through this process. 1 Peter 1:22. "Since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit, in sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart." So let me pause for a minute to revisit the definition of pure. Pure in the Greek, or katharos, may be engaged in a higher sense as well, not just on a physical level. William Barclay, in his commentary, contended that with a spiritual import, pure may describe the heart that is free of unadulterated motives. It perhaps represents that ideal state of mind, the person who longs to serve God and others for the sheer unselfish joy of honoring the Creator and thus free of base motives. So, I don't know about you, but it's easy for me sometimes to feel like I'm doing right as long as I'm not doing wrong. In other words, I keep the Sabbath, the holy days, I don't steal, I don't cheat. Pretty good guy, right? You can have a long list of I don'ts to feel justified and pure. And these are all good and lawful. However, God is more concerned with the I do's. I do love God. That one's easy. He loves us back, right? I do love my brother. That's easier now. It wasn't so easy as a teenager. Sometimes I had a younger brother and older sister. Did a lot of arguing, a lot of fighting. My brethren, that's you. My neighbor. And my enemy? Now that's a little harder. These get progressively harder as the list goes on. But God is concerned with our motivation, our attitude, which is another way of saying our heart. So back to 1 Peter 1:22 for a minute. I want to focus on the phrase, "Love one another with a pure heart fervently." Have you ever had a conflict with a physical or a spiritual brother? I know I have. You could pick an issue or pick a topic. There's been hundreds. Issues will always pop up. But resolution through fervent love is the answer. So growing up, my motto was right is might. Okay? My friends used to say, you should be a lawyer. Because it didn't matter if I was arguing with my physical brother or a friend or a fellow student or a colleague. I wanted to be right in every situation. And a lot of times I was right, but because I knew the laws of God. As David said, "I'm wiser than my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation." So in religious disputes, it was easy to win arguments with friends at school, etc. But, you know, it's great to know the law and deserve the law. But what's more important is to exercise the laws in truth and in sincerity. Most arguments that I've had in the past could have gone a lot smoother had I demonstrated more love for said individual. But many times I did not. My pride or my ego, the value of being right, was more important to me than just loving that particular person. And most conflicts among brethren through the years could have been resolved if one or more of both parties just demonstrated more love, a pure heart. No pride, no self, no ego, just humbly putting others first. Even entire wars could be avoided by exercising more fervent love, as 1 Peter suggests. So, leads me to my next question. Is a pure heart a state of being? Is it something you attain? Has Bob McCurdy achieved that level and he's got no more work to do? He's shaking his head back there. No. So is it a journey or a destination? Well, we know the answer. It's a continual renewal process. And it's not only achieved through points number one and two, just defense of guarding your heart or the act of drawing close to God in prayer and Bible study. That's easy by comparison. What's harder is really, truly loving each other, showing it, acting it out. A pure heart is largely a byproduct. It's a result from the choice of actively loving your brother or your sister, your friends, your brethren, showing it and demonstrating it, putting that person above yourself. It's motives. Right motives and action yield a pure heart as fruit. So I would use one example of a person who selfishly put a whole country ahead of himself. Jonathan with King David. Jonathan was the physical heir to the crown. Not technically, but since Saul made some mistakes, but he was originally. And he was a strong soldier to boot. So he could have easily went on the warpath, joined up with his father and said, "I want to reclaim my throne." He could have burned with jealousy and envy and sought to kill David. Instead, his relationship with David was selfless. His motives were pure. And at some point in his life, as a child or a teenager or an adult, with God's help, he manifested a pure heart, I believe. Now, he wasn't born this way, no more than you or I. He worked at it. And there's a lot of study you can do on Jonathan or David or plenty of other examples of biblical characters who displayed a pure heart through the decisions that they made and through the way they treated other people. But we don't have time for that. So, in conclusion, how over the next 50 days do we further create a pure heart within ourselves? What fruit will I display come Pentecost? And I'm not talking about my garden, but spiritual fruit. What fruit will you display? So I'll roll back through the points again. Number one, we can guard our hearts with all diligence. Number two, work at drawing near to God. And number three, love each other. And that's it. It's simple, but it's not always easy. We practice by showing love to one another, fervent love. These actions change our heart, make us pure, and grant us the ultimate gift. And the reward is mentioned in Matthew 5:8. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God.